everyone, and welcome back to Womansplain. Today we have a very special guest, Anna Morgenstern. She's CEO and founder, as well as a matchmaker extraordinaire in New York City. And today we're going to hear about her starting her own business and her kind of own dating journey as well in NYC. So we'd love to pass it over to her and she kind of introduce herself and we can go from there.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I guess it's been 7 years now since I kind of joined the dating industry. I was always someone that kind of floated through jobs where I never got promoted. I kind of coasted by because, you know, I always had good relationships with people. I was always in client services and some kind of like advertising, marketing type roles. And then I was in sales, but I never really did that well. I don't know. The only thing I ever really cared about was like dating, relationships, the psychology behind it. Why did these two people end up together? Why did this guy break up with me? Like I wanted to kind of solve those questions for myself. And then I had so many girlfriends that I thought were amazing and just dating the biggest losers. And I was so passionate about them meeting great people. And I think I had about five or so friends that got married, either from me directly setting them up or kind of pushing them towards people that I liked or basically forced them to stop dating people I didn't like. And then I had one friend that really encouraged me to think entrepreneurially. And I honestly never thought, like, I don't know anything about business. Like, I don't know how to start a business. I don't know anything about this. But then I realized, you know, whatever you are really interested in, you're an expert in that. And you have some like data that you can share with others. You have a lot of information that you've gathered over the years. And if you're really passionate about something, like you can share that with the world and, you know, you can, the business stuff you can figure out on the back end.
That's awesome.
I love that. That's amazing. No, I love to hear that too, that like effectively you were feeling like you couldn't basically really dedicate yourself to being an employee, that you kind of had to have your own thing to be passionate. And I feel like that's really kind of a common thread I hear from entrepreneurs. Like, I feel like once they found their own business or find their own thing, they treat it so differently than they ever did for working for someone else.
It's true. I also, you know, I remember sitting in offices with like the fluorescent lights just like hitting me. And I actually looked it up. It does affect some people, their circadian rhythms, that it could actually make you feel nauseous.
Really?
And I remember sitting at my last job that I had, last real job, and feeling like nauseous all day, every day. And the second I went outside, I would be okay. But sitting like under those lights, like I really felt sick. And I was like, I can't live like this anymore. And also I made the 1% commission. I'm like, I want 100%.
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Work for myself.
Exactly.
Oh, great. My God. That's awesome.
So what? Okay. So then you're like, all right, I got to leave. I got to start my own thing. So what are the steps you took to actually set up the business?
Yeah, this was October 2017. And that was like the rise of the online coaches. And I went to some like entrepreneurship type conferences. I went to a Lewis Howes conference in Ohio. I was listening to podcasts. But I was like, you know, the day I got laid off from my last advertising job, I said, okay, I'm just going to buy one of those online coaching programs. I'll spend the money. I think it was like $1,000 or whatever. And at least learn like, what are like, how do you promote yourself? How do you make up like a website? How do you do an email list? And that's what that program really taught you, is how to kind of set yourself up to do this little solo business. And I first got into dating coaching because that's what I felt passionately about, to help women feel more confident, how to approach guys I thought were cute at bars or parties or whatever. And to also create, you know, a safe place in dating, how to make sure that you're not getting scammed by people or putting yourself in bad situations, how to, you know, look for red flags and things like that. And yeah, so that was pretty much, I started with the coaching program. And then I just really leaned into my community. I'm Jewish background. So I started going, and before that, I hadn't gone to a single Shabbat dinner or anything in so long. But, you know, I realized, you know, I think in that program they talked about it too, like whatever your community is, like that, those people will help you. So it could be a religious group. It could be an athletic team, you know, if you've been on a softball team forever, or whatever your interests are, you've built a community around, lean into those people because they will want to support you and help you. And I just started like, you know, they've put me as a host on different like websites for different Shabbat dinners or different kind of Jewish events or whatever. And even though I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I was like, I'm a dating coach now. I just started telling people that. I started, you know, I just shamelessly started posting about it on Instagram and Facebook, changed my LinkedIn. I got rid of all the advertising stuff. I was like, that is not what I'm doing anymore. Cause I knew like, if I didn't want to have that to lean back on, cause I had recruiters calling me, offering me like 3 times the money I was making for way more boring jobs. And I said, no, like I can't keep going down that path. So I just started telling people, this is what I'm doing now. I'm an expert. And when you tell people you're an expert, they believe you.
Yes.
You know, like they're not going to question like, what are your credentials? Like,
yeah.
No.
Manifestation. You
know? And a lot of people are like, yeah, you are an expert. It's all you talk about. Of course you're an expert. You know, it didn't surprise anyone that this is what I wanted to do. And yeah, I just like had blind confidence that like I can do this. And I actually was dating someone at the time and he broke up with me. Because he thought like, oh, you had your stuff together, you had a good job, and now like, what, you're going to be a dating coach? Like, wow. He's like, no, you're one of those girls.
What a dick.
And broke up with me.
No yeah. way.
And
wow.
Literally, well, I hope one. That guy Googles me now.
Yeah, literally Google her.
I know. I hope he listens to this freaking podcast, yeah. Honestly.
Wow.
Also, like, I don't, yeah, that's crazy. So when you were a dating coach, I actually love to hear this. I feel like I mean, you hear so much dating advice, especially now. I feel like there are a million podcasts, yeah. Dating gurus, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And like it also is, I know something we touched on like when we had our conversation, you know, women have like changed their roles in terms of like, you know, working before traditional. What are like your kind of main, I guess, tips you give women when you're kind of like they are dating? What are kind of key things you think are real and you've learned and you would say?
Yeah, there's so many mixed messages out there and different like male dating coaches, female dating coaches, divorce gurus, breakup coaches, like all these different people have different angles. And so they're going to have a different kind of viewpoint and the narrative they're going to tell you is going to be based on whatever experiences that they've had. For me, I've spent the last, you know, 7 years or so screening thousands of people in all the major cities, internationally as well. And I have like actual data of what people are looking for. And the one thing that I tell women is that you really have to be like realistic. I mean, the guys that you were getting when you were 25, 27, and you didn't give a shit about like, you know, like you were just this hot thing. Like the guy you're going to end up with is probably not those guys that you were, you know, hooking up with, dating, whatever back then. So you have to really readjust who is going to be your lifelong, like long-term marriage partner. And it's, you know, the one thing I tell women is like, don't look at someone's job title and judge them just based on that. You know, like that has nothing to do with financial responsibility. Like when you date from a place of values, a value is someone who's financially responsible and has financial goals and wants to own property and be able to afford a family. Those are values. But like, oh, he works in finance. That's not a value. And like, oh, he takes me to flashy dates, you know, Carbone, whatever. I don't even know what's hot anymore because I live in Canada, basically, in Upper East Side. But like that, those are not value-based things. And I think a lot of women get swept up by this like flashy money kind of thing, but that guy can be in a ton of debt. He could have absolutely nothing saved. And from even my own personal life, like I think back, like I had an ex, he had to take out loans to keep up with his friends in the Hamptons.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So like, don't, you know, like don't judge men just like, oh, he works in marketing. Ugh. Or like, oh, he's a teacher. Like he might own 7 or 8 Airbnb rental properties, crushing it. Like you just don't really know someone's situation. And I think on the dating apps, you're so quickly to judge. You look at like, oh, they're in somewhere deep in Brooklyn and they're a teacher. Oh, they must be so poor. You know, like you could like, oh, maybe he owns a townhouse over there. Like you just don't really know someone's situation. And I think men don't really care about those things as much. They're more like, you know, is she hot, fun, and nice? Like the main things.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, of course, there's like other, you know, things like, you know, background, religion, whatever. But mainly like they don't really care if a woman makes $1 million a year or, you know, 50 grand a year. Like that's not a thing for them. And women still have this view of like, I need to be with a provider.
Yeah.
While they're totally fine providing for themselves. And I do think that together as a couple, you can create a beautiful life together. And so, you know, you shouldn't have in your mind that the entire financial burden is on this man's shoulders. And, you know, like, yes, when we get pregnant and we give birth, we need the man to step up and take care of us and be a provider in that moment financially. But that is something that together as a couple, you should be saving for. And there should be a savings account for it. When we have a baby, there's money for this, you know?
Yeah.
Because you just never know. Even if you marry someone that is, you know, doing really well financially, you just never know what could happen. They could lose their job. They could have something, a medical issue. So you can't, you know, date solely based on that.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think it, and, you know, I met my fiance on the dating apps. And I think a big reason why I, you know, ended up with him is I was in a place where I was kind of just really open. I was like very open. At that point, I had like just gotten out of a long-term relationship. I think, you know, before when I was dating, I was very like kind of profile obsessed. I had really specific things I wanted to check off. And then I was like out of this relationship and I was like, I'm just going to have fun. And I think on a profile perspective, I never would have But on a date with him, if I like, honestly, just because on paper, it's like, oh, like he works in insurance. Like, what is that? Like, ew. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He didn't go to an Ivy League school, whatever. But then it ended up being amazing. And I think it was really good. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this. But like,
oh. We love you,
Taylor. A lot of women have these stories, though, that are married or engaged. Yeah. Is that their fiance is not someone they necessarily had on paper everything perfect.
Totally.
But the connection was perfect.
Exactly.
And, you know, like the way they treated them was really way differently than that like lawyer finance guy that they've always kind of dated that maybe wasn't as emotionally available or, you know, faithful or whatever.
100%. And so, and I think like also what's so important is like women have to like expand that idea of provider because there are like so many other things in terms of that besides just money. And to be fair, like a man who is also like a workaholic isn't like going to make you happy probably at the end of the day because he's not going to prioritize you really. If you have kids, it's going to be extraordinarily stressful on you. There are other burdens in life besides just financial burdens, right? Like they're like life is really freaking hard, emotionally trying, and like unexpected. And so if you don't feel like you can trust him with anything but money, that's also a problem. And like that's like an area of just a lack of partnership too. So
absolutely,
right?
Very well said. Especially, you know, like last month or so, I was super sick. I had to go to the hospital for the day. And my fiance, well, he's my boyfriend at the time then, but now he's my fiance. He was with me for 7 hours, didn't complain, like was so sweet. And I was like, this is like a provider. Like, I'm, you know, like he really was there for me. And I mean, I think about some of my exes, I don't think they would have done the same.
Totally. And do you, and now for your business, so do you have, you have both male and female clients, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you kind of explain how, what your business model is and kind of how you set people up and et cetera?
Sure. So yeah, I work with both men and women. I have two rules. You have to want a monogamous relationship and you have to be like nice and have like a generosity of spirit. You know, I really like to work with people that when I tell them like, oh, I have a new client. Do you have anyone that could be good for them? Like they want to help me with my other clients. They want to help me with my own personal business. If I've connected them with each other and they become like best friends. So there's just like a, I don't know, like a little collective that I've started of just really kind, good-hearted people. So that's what's really important to me. Because I worked at the dating, the matchmaking companies. Not all the clients were very nice to me. And I was like, never again will I work with people that give me anxiety.
Yeah, whoa. Yeah, not worth it. Life's too short.
Yeah, like when you see that name pop up on your phone and you're just like, oh, I feel the ulcer starting. Like, I just don't work with people like that anymore. But yeah, they buy a package of dates.
Okay.
Because it takes a couple of dates to get into the swing of things for them to tell me like, okay, I thought I wanted this, but actually this is better. And they'll be able to give me a lot of good feedback. And then on the other end of that, their dates will give me really good feedback about how they are on the dates. And they'll tell me like, oh, you know, he was really nervous. He didn't make good eye contact, or she asked really great questions, or whatever it is. If there's feedback we need to work on, they'll make each date better and better and better if we work on that feedback. So usually it's a package of 6 dates.
Okay.
I don't really do a time limit on it because I don't, a lot of matchmaking companies, they'll give you like 6 months or a year to use your matches or you lose them. But to me, that's like counterintuitive because you want to date your match, each match for at least a little while to see if there's a connection there. So I don't have, really have a time limit. I say 5 years on my contract because I did have one client. It took her almost 5 years because she dated her first match for a year. Then the second, third, fourth for a couple months here, a couple months there. Fifth and sixth, a little bit less. And she went back to her first match.
Really? Yeah. And they got married?
I don't know. Well, they were both like divorced older. So I don't know if they got married. I think they're still together. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny how that kind of plays out. But yeah, so I do as much coaching as they need. I also think of it as like if we are working together towards a mutual goal, like let's really do this together. So if they still want to use dating apps, a lot of my clients don't want to or they want to take a break from them, but some of them still want to use that as like a supplement. Then we'll look at the profile, see who they're matching with, the photos, how the conversation's going, making sure who they're matching with on the apps is who they're telling me they want me to introduce them to as well. Because sometimes who they're dating on their own is very different who they than what they tell me they want. And that's a discrepancy that we need to look into.
That's interesting.
Yeah. A lot of times they kind of come to me with like aspirational dating of like, I want to be with someone like this, maybe from, you know, familial pressure or, you know, society, whatever. But then on their own, you know, they really have their own preferences. And if they're, you know, they have a certain type or a certain look they kind of go for, or they're scared to tell me for whatever reason. So it's good to see, you know, real data.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah.
And then I want to also give them more opportunities to meet people in person. I mean, post COVID world, whatever you have an interest in, there is a group for that. Literally anything. And I'll talk to people like, well, I don't like to do sports. I'm not very athletic. I'm like, there's backgammon clubs. There's Uno nights. Wow. There's trivia nights. I mean, anything you can imagine that you have an interest in, you will find a group, a club, or something in person to meet other people that have interest in that area. And even if there's no one there that you could potentially date, they could have a brother, a friend, a cousin, or a coworker. You just have to put it out there. Like, I'm single. I'm looking to meet someone. And people like to play matchmaker.
They do.
I'm really curious, in a city like New York City, and we talked a little bit about like how men just date whoever, if they're hot, whatever, funny, nice. But like women, we have standards that are really high. And like we talked about this too. And like we've all, you know, dated in the city. And so do you find that like men, like women date up and men date down? Like how do you kind of see that in your work and like clients? And how do you kind of deal with that and navigate it in terms of like, even from a numbers perspective, and like in a city that's like infinite choices?
Yeah, I mean, I think standards are a funny word because people consider standards a lot of different ways. I like to think of like you have a date from a place of your values. And I think that's what's kind of missing. Like people kind of, they think of like, oh, my standards are here. He can't be a teacher. That's below my standards. But it's not, that's not the value. The value could be someone's financially responsible. Is that, that's the value. Then, you know, that just because he's a teacher doesn't mean he's below your standards. So I think that's how people need to like rethink, you know. So when they say men date down, well, for them, they don't need a woman for their money, you know. So I don't think they necessarily date below their standards. I think they date more from a place of values in the sense of they want to be with someone that makes them feel good, that they see as a good mother, a good wife, that gets along with their family, that, you know, maybe they're similar cultural backgrounds or religious backgrounds. I think if anything, women are trying to date too far up. And I think that's what's keeping a lot of women single. Because in a city like New York, this is one of the, San Francisco is a completely opposite of New York because it's one of the few cities that has more college-educated men than women. And because of that, women are like a hot property. If you're like a good-looking, smart, cool girl, you are getting swooped up like that. 100%. Yeah. Men do 100%. Not let you go.
Yeah.
And in New York, there's more college-educated women than men. Yeah. And we've seen, like, the data, how more women are graduating college. Women are out-earning men. So if the only standard you have is money, then, yeah, it's going to look like women are dating down. But I honestly think my women that are really, really successful, like, financially, it's better for them to be with someone who's not competing with them at that level, totally. Who maybe is, like, doing something totally different, who's successful in their own industry. Like, my perfect example is if a woman is, like, say she's a VC, she's crushing it. Being with someone who's like a furniture designer.
100%.
Someone totally different who is like a master in their craft that you can respect and admire. Mm. You know, maybe they're not as financially successful as you, but they're doing something that they love and you can still admire them for that. I think that's what's more important for women. They need to feel like they respect their partner and admire them. And, you know, that could be, and even if he is like works in education, like maybe he set up different nonprofits and works with kids, you know, from different kind of marginalized communities or something, like I would respect someone like that.
Totally.
You know, yeah. I respect that more than someone who's just like another finance guy who's spending all his money on, you know, God knows what on the weekends. And
totally. And also like that's very impressive to be like that courageous as well and to like also do something different. I think that's also important in like balance and partnership too. Mm-hmm. Like if you are like a VC or finance person, you're probably not a big risk taker, right? Mm-hmm. You're probably pretty type A, most likely. Mm-hmm. You're like straight A student type vibe, right? So I'm like, it's probably good for you to be with someone who's like creative. Like, that's mm-hmm. great. Like, bring that side out of you, balance that a little bit. I mean, a great example I always have was when I worked at, you know, a firm, the one female MD. She was like gorgeous, obviously super successful. She married her personal trainer. And like, I literally loved
I remember that. Oh my
and
God.
Like, he was like, but that. He was like a really successful, like you can make a, I don't know, he was oh, a yeah. very successful yeah. personal trainer in like New York City, right? Yeah. So he like had all these high-end clients and like whatever. And he was like super good looking oh, and like God. They had super cute kids. And I was like, this is great. Like, I don't know. I always thought yeah. it was awesome.
That's crazy.
And she was like, I met him. I became like, I was like way more in shape, like blah, blah, blah. And I also like respected him for that too, because he was like, yeah, it's awesome. My wife's like a badass. Yeah. You know, like I respect her in her own way. And I think it is a good reminder for everyone. Like, I think also our parents have a lot of judgment on like job titles, mm-hmm. I think, because like when there was just less ways to like make money, I think, actually, when they were young. It was like, if you're not like a doctor, lawyer, finance person, like you basically are not successful, like pretty exactly. much. And now there are just actually way better ways to be financially responsible or successful or ambitious. And there's a lot more flexibility because like obviously the internet opened up so many things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard for us because our parents judge it too. Like I know that if I was with someone who like had like, oh, I don't know, a job title, my mom would totally be like, oh my God, you're marrying a teacher. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I know that. Like, yeah. I am aware. And that, like, and that hurts us a little bit as women, too. So, like, how do you think you, I don't know, bridge that gap, do you think, with kind of your clients? Like, do you think they struggle with that idea as well?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think especially, you know, millennials, because our parents are like the boomers, right? So we still have this kind of old school mentality, but we live in this new world. Because the Gen Z, they everything they're doing is like, online, yeah. not conventional, totally. You know, so they don't really care as much about like, they're not as rigid as millennials, let's put it that way. But I tell people, you know, when you go on a first date with someone, rather than asking about what do you do for work, what's your job title, all that kind of stuff, ask them like, how do you, you know, save your money? Do you, you know, play with the stock market? Do you have, you know, financial goals that you think you'll meet in the next couple of years? Where do you see yourself owning property, in the suburbs or in the city? Like, get an idea of where they are financially. If that's your real question. If that's what you really want to know is where they're at. And then also like ask them about their lifestyle, you know, how do they spend their summers and their weekends? And if they're like, yeah, I, you know, do a Hamptons house and spend all my money, you know, like you'll get an idea of how they spend. Because my dad always said this, it's not about how much you make, it's about how much you spend.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you really want to be with someone who's financially responsible. I always talk about that because I think that's not talked about enough. I don't know why it's still so taboo to talk about money and to understand someone's financial situation before you get in a relationship. Before I got in a serious relationship with my fiance, we had a very serious talk about finances. And once I felt like, okay, like we're both in a good place, we both have similar goals, then I was like, all right, we can keep going on this.
Yeah, it's important.
And it's like, you shouldn't wait until you get to like the prenup, you know, to find out, oh, they're in a lot of debt. And I hear that a lot, like where people didn't know someone was hiding, you know, some serious financial problems.
Wow.
Until they got pretty far deep into the relationship. So I think that people just need to like, you know, like ask the questions you really want to know. Don't, you know, beat around the bush. And obviously like you want to have fun on a first day and don't get like too in the weeds, but you should have an idea if you are aligned with someone with your, you know, if you want to have a kid in the next couple of years, they need to have like a bit of money saved. They need to be in a good place financially.
Yeah.
When you're in 20s and you're dating, you don't have to really worry about that, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Also, no one really has enough money. Like, I mean, at that point, we're all still building our career. So it's a little bit different. I'm assuming your clients are old. Are your clients older, in their 30s? Yeah. I would assume.
Yeah. I've had clients in like, you know, mid to late 20s, but typically they're 30s to like early 50s.
Okay.
Yeah. So usually they're in a good place, but it's New York gives people this crazy mentality where it's never enough.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like our salaries are pretty high here. If you took them to any other city, you feel like you're balling. Yeah. But for some reason here, we always feel like, especially I think that's why men, they feel like they're not really ready for families until 40s and 50s because they're still climbing up this corporate ladder, trying to get to a place of success where they feel like, okay, now like I can focus on family, because a lot of people do work crazy hours and, you know, private schools are expensive. Owning property here is expensive. And so I think there's a lot of fear around people starting families here. That's just very specific to New York, unfortunately.
Yeah. Totally.
And on that, like I saw a TikTok recently, I like sent it to all my friends, but it was also a dating coach, and she was saying how men like want to focus on their careers in like their mid, late 20s and early 30s. And so once they've, you know, accomplished them, then they want to start dating. And like, have you heard of like the taxi cab theory?
Right.
So like then we have to like kind of date people that are like mature or like very confident in their professional life before you are able to date them. So it's like the timing also. Mm-hmm. Like, do you believe in that? And have you seen that with your clients, like in terms of men especially, like being more established in their careers and then they're ready to date? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Yes. I think that, you know, it's a funny thing with men. There comes a point where they feel like they're the hottest, like they're 35, they are a hot commodity, right? They feel like they can have 25-year-olds, they could have anyone. And then you see as they get into like their 40s and they still are feeling pretty good. And they get to like later 40s, that's when they start sweating. And they're like, you know, like they kind of feel like they're running against the clock a bit. And women, we feel
that's
that.
How we feel in like mid-20s.
No, but we feel 20s. That. Like, no, but like 35, you start feeling, you start getting the sweats. You know, that's what I call it. Like, you start getting a little like hot. You're like, okay, like I need to figure this out soon. And what, by the time you get to, I'm 38, so I can say this, but by the time you get to 38, that's when you're.
Yeah, you look great. I looked over like early 30s.
We might need your skincare routine after this. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yeah, but I think like for women, you know, ours is 10 years before theirs, really.
Yeah.
So that's why I do think like dating a bit older for women usually makes sense. But then, you know, it's funny because I'll talk to women who are early 40s and they want to date younger. They're like, I don't want these like old dudes who are stuck in their ways. I'm all for the younger men. I am like living my best life. You know, it's really funny. There's kind of like this switch that happens in women where they get to like 40, 41. They're like, yeah, if he's like 35, that's cool. And it's so funny. I mean, they look great. But,
yeah. Hey.
Yeah. So, yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, sure. No, that is really interesting. It's funny. And yeah, I mean, my mom was also like single when I was like 14. So she was like in her mid to late 40s and she looks great. And she was like divorced. She got married really young. And she was dating on the scene. And honestly, all I remember is my mom was like, it is so different dating older. She's like, the last time she had dated, she was like 20. Do you know what I'm saying? So now she's like 45. She's looking great. And she's like, all these men are so scared to die alone. She's like, literally, third date, engaged. She's like, fucking fourth date, engaged. Like, literally, husband, like, literally, it's so crazy. She's like, this, like, it's like the whole, like, all she experienced was like women trying to get men to commit. And then all of a sudden, it's like men trying to get women to commit on the divorcee scene. And it's like, and I think it is interesting because obviously women have, I mean, like, let's say our biological, like, we want kids. Like, that's just objective at a certain age versus men don't have that pressure. But I think also men, like, women can do better on their own generally in terms of like emotional life because like we like I feel like there's so many studies like we have closer friendships and we'll like we take care of ourselves and men just kind of need us a little. We're like their emotional 100%. Life is like honestly usually kind of caretaken by women.
Men live longer when they're married to a woman.
Yeah, and women are the opposite.
I know.
So it's like literally it's like crazy.
I totally believe in marriage and I think it could be, you know,
of course. Wonderful thing.
You know, but you do, I do notice that, you know, women are always kind of the CEO of the household, right? Yeah. Especially when there's kids. They know the schedule. They know what they need to eat. They know who gets what medicine, when, how, you know, like they just run the show in the home. And I think because of that, men have taken a backseat to the point where, like, they don't know even, like, my mom told my dad to grab a knife the other day, and he could not figure out what drawer the knives were in.
My mom calls me so mad, like, once a week, and she's like, I got him to, like, he was, like, clean this up, and my dad was like, I don't know where the wipes are. And my mom's like, you, what? Yeah. They've been married for 30-plus years. Like, they don't know how to do anything.
That's on us, though. We condition them to be useless without us in a good way and also a bad way.
No, we do. We do. And, yeah. And I will, Tanner has always tells me, he's like, I'm an adult, Brooke. You don't have to tell me every single detail. And I'm like, okay, that's actually good to know. He reminds me. He's like, I can do things. Like, it's okay. I'm like, you don't have to give me a 10-step instruction manual.
But when I don't remind him of something, that's when he forgets his passport. So, yeah.
So, like, so, how do you approach dating? Like, I feel like I'm also very, like, type A, like, front seat, like, my mom the same. Like, do you think people, like, women like us or me should – like look for guys that are like more chill and calms me down. I'm like 0 to 100. I'm like 100 all the time. So like, do I go to 0 or like do I go to 50? Like what's your advice on that?
Yeah, I think like there's so many principles in this, like the yin yang and Judaism. They say when they this broke the soul down the middle, there's a reason why like opposites can attract. You know, like if you're kind of like a little more type A, you need someone who's a little bit more beta to kind of like calm you down. I do think there's something to that. I don't think it has to be like so extreme where you're, you know, sometimes women, I'll say that when I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be with someone who's like this big beta and, you know, is a total loser. I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. But I do think there is something if you're, you know, very type A and kind of, I don't want to say the alpha, but a lot of women do have this like alpha energy, like almost like masculine energy, which is not just great for work. But like if you're dating a man who's also masculine, he's going to be repelled by that. You know, so, but someone who's like a little bit like softer will really be attracted to that and be like, wow, strong woman. That's really sexy. So you just have to be open-minded to someone who's maybe not as like alpha masculine, you know, in that regard. Someone's a little bit more in touch with their feminist, and maybe someone a little more creative. Could be a really good match.
Yeah, but I feel like it's really hard in New York because, like, I've, like, only dated finance guys, and, like, it's not like I'm seeking them out, but it's like...
After this, go to, like, the breweries. They're here.
I have to drink beer.
In Brooklyn. No. They're in Brooklyn.
You're so right.
They are.
They're not at, like, martini bars where I'm hanging out with my girlfriends.
No, probably not. They're in Williamsburg. They're in Greenpoint. Gowanus. Like, they're here.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good goal. And I don't know. I feel like there is all this advice, too, around, like, dating rules. What is your opinion on dating rules? Like, oh, especially if, like, with, like, high, like, I'm a, like, high-energy, alpha-esque woman. Like, okay, in order to get your feminine energy, don't respond to his text for 3 days. Yeah. Say he has to plan, you know, a date by Wednesday. Like, there's all these different ones. Do you believe in that? Do you think women should be doing kind of these types of dating rules and men? Or do you think that's just kind of bullshit?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't. I feel like when you meet the right person, you don't have to do any of that stuff. You only do that stuff to trick someone into liking you. And they might like you for another week or month or whatever. But eventually, like, I really feel like your body as a woman, like, you feel it in your gut if something's off and he's not that into you.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know. I think it's your ego that makes you want to prove that gut feeling wrong. So you're, like, trying to do all these things to, like, prove, you know, to your, like, yes, I got that guy, even though whatever. Like, that's, like, ego talking. I do think that when you meet someone, you shouldn't drop plans with friends and you shouldn't, you know, rearrange your whole life for that person. So, like, if it takes 3 hours to text him back or something because you're busy, that's a natural thing that's organic, that's great. 3 days is rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. 24 hours, rude.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a hostel. Like, I mean, there's, of course, there's, like, 1%.
You're on a 14-hour flight or something, fine. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. But I think that we need to treat each other more humanely in dating, especially if you're meeting someone from the apps. It's very easy to reject someone, ghost them. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was dating on apps. I had a full-on date planned with someone. Morning of the day, unmatched, blocked. I'm like, what the hell? You know, like, it happened to me multiple times. People just treat you very inhumanely on the apps. So I think we all just need to treat each other more kindly, and don't make plans with someone that you don't want to meet, you know? And so I've one thing I see a lot is someone always get upset. Like, why do they even, why do they even agree to the date if they felt like there's gonna be no chemistry afterwards? Like, they saw my photos. They clearly know what I look like. Why do they say they weren't attracted to me or whatever afterwards? I think sometimes people agree to dates because they're bored.
Yeah.
Or they're trying to convince themselves to be too open. Like, it's one thing to be open on, like, okay, I've never dated someone in insurance before versus, like, I've never dated someone of this ethnicity or of this, like, cultural background or this height. And, like, I'm not really attracted to that, but I'm trying to be open. I really feel like you should know your preferences, know what works for you, what, like, the kind of person you want to be with from a value base. And don't agree to dates that don't align with that. It's not nice for the other person, especially if you're canceling the day of. Like, I feel really, really badly for people. Like, so if I have a client that wants to cancel, like, a date, or on the other end, if a match canceled a date, like, it's really heartbreaking when someone's really excited to meet someone and it's like, oh, sorry, they actually decided not to meet you tonight. And, like, really hurts my feelings to do that to them. So, I think only accept dates that you are excited about. Don't do anyone any favors. Don't be so open where you're like, I've never dated someone 30 years older. I'm going to have to give it a try. Like, you don't have to be that open. It's okay.
No. Yeah.
You don't have boundaries still.
Right. I like that word, boundaries versus standards. I think that's good because I feel like, standards gives a very weird frame of mind. And sometimes I think it's like, boundaries, I think are great, value-based.
Yeah, it's like, it's an entitled place to come from. Like, you're below my standards. It's like, who are you to tell someone else that they're below your standards?
For sure.
I don't like that. It's like, we don't align value-wise. You don't sit within these boundaries that I have for myself. That's a very different place. But I don't like the word standards.
Yeah.
Because it's, I don't know, it's like, what are you, the Queen of England? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
think we're all too full of ourselves a little bit in dating.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we're all just regular people looking for love, trying to find, you know, our soulmates here, and just have to be a little more, you know, kind to each other.
Yeah. I love that. It's true. And apps are so weird because they literally are created to just objectify other people. And inhumane is, like, a nice term for it because it's true. And, like, I feel like I've been on both sides of it where I've absolutely canceled a date. I've ghosted people before. Mm-hmm. I've been ghosted. It's awful. Like, it really is. So I think it is a good reminder that we should just treat everyone a little bit more. Just, I don't know, kindness and respect.
Yeah, like the feelings that you develop from someone through a phone feel very real, even though you've never met them before.
Totally.
So it could feel like really jarring for someone if they've been like 2 weeks nonstop texting with someone and all of a sudden that stops. Like that feels really hurtful to people. So I also say like try not to build these like big relationships over the phone. Try to just meet people. That's why with my clients, they actually do not talk at all to each other until they meet in person.
Really? Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm scared like if they text each other, they're going to use the wrong "your" or something. and it's like, oh, this person's an idiot. Or, you know, I had one client, they were in Miami. So I was like, all right, I'll give him her number since they were kind of trying to plan. And he texted her and she didn't respond for like 5 or 6 hours. And he was livid. He lost his fucking mind.
That's crazy.
And she was on a flight.
Okay.
And it's also, I don't respond to people in 5 hours.
Yeah, that's like not that long.
She was like flying to Miami at the time. And so she just, you know, she's at the airport, she's on the flight. Totally. You know, she's just trying to like figure out where she was going. And he built up this whole story in his mind that she is not respectful of his time. She doesn't want to meet him. She's this, she's that. She's an awful person. And finally, when she responded back, it was so much like built up, like, anger he had inside him. Like it was, I was like, you cannot meet her with this attitude, this energy. You're just gonna like snap at her if she like even looks at you sideways.
She's like 10 minutes late and you're gonna freak out or something. Oh, you know?
Yeah. I'll take away his silverware. Like he's gonna
That is so, it is so interesting. It is weird that how you do that. What is your also opinion on, I feel like I have a lot of these conversations with my friends who are dating when they're early dating someone, like, and they're like, oh, he did this, and I don't know. What is your kind of opinion on a balance of like giving people a chance versus listening to yourself? Because I think women can also like really be like, he did one thing wrong and like, I'm going to end it, which I feel like is also extreme. But then also if you feel like something's off, it probably is true. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
So like attraction grows for women, I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
So like, what are your thoughts on like how many dates should you go on with someone?
Yeah.
I think that if someone is really kind to you and treats you really well and you have a lot of fun with them, and there is like an attraction, you got to keep seeing that through. Even if they wear Crocs, God forbid.
Oh no, not the Crocs.
You know, like you can change that stuff. Like the outer stuff, exterior is very easy to change.
For sure.
Interior, very difficult to change. So you can meet the hottest finance guy who is like flashy, da da da, and he's just the biggest asshole. Like, you know what I mean? Or you can meet like a really sweet guy and he just like needs a little makeover. Honestly, it's a project. It's fun.
Yeah, the girlfriend effect.
The girlfriend effect is very real. I mean, also men like tangible feedback. They really do.
Oh, yeah.
Like tangible feedback, they love that. I will say like, if you specifically are just like, you should just wear this color, get your hair cut, they will do it like in 3 seconds.
I gifted my ex-boyfriend just clothes. I'm like, you're wearing this like here. And he's like, great.
This is great. Yes.
I mean, I'll never forget. This was like last spring, 2023, I guess. Like, I don't even know anymore. So it was 2023 spring. I was going on a date with a guy from an app and I saw him walking towards me going to the restaurant. And I was like, God, I hope that's not him. And his outfit was so bad.
Oh.
I can't even tell you. I was just like, God, I hope that's not him. I hope it's not him. As I get closer, I'm like, oh, it looks like the photo. Oh God, what do I do? I'm like sweating. I'm like, okay. So we sit down and he was like such a nice guy. And at the end of the day, I was like, I really need to give you some feedback. And he was like, great, hit me with it, because he knew what I do for work. And I was like, okay, when you woke up this morning, you're like, I have this date I'm excited for. This is the outfit that you picked. I got to tell you what he was wearing. Okay. He was wearing like khaki pants that you wear on the golf course, you know, like that material.
Yeah.
But they were like kind of like loose on him.
Ew.
And, you know, no belt. And he had this also kind of like a dry fit shirt. And it was turquoise and white, like checkered. And it had like a couple of buttons and a collar. And it was tucked in.
Oh my God.
And
it was like a golf outfit. He was wearing a golf outfit.
But then he wore this like of Robin's Egg blue blazer.
Oh my God.
With matching boots.
Whoa, yeah. That is really bad.
With the reflective like blue sunglasses.
No, 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 no.
And I was like, okay, I am going to literally change your life.
And did he take it well? The feedback?
Oh yeah. I was like, okay, have you heard of Todd Snyder? Let's start there.
It's not that hard. Just wear good jeans, ragamuffin jeans, and a white t-shirt.
Literally.
That's literally it.
Honestly.
And like, get like one nice sweater for the winter.
Yeah.
He literally went online that night and showed me a shopping cart. And I was like, this yes, that no, this yes. Yeah, I mean, I honestly wonder like, what he's up to now.
He's like, probably married like a beautiful woman.
You're honestly, welcome to his future girlfriend.
Literally, I know. We literally got to bring him on the pod. We just got to like have how did Anna change your life?
Yeah.
That is insane. I love that. So if you were going to leave, you're like, okay, advice for, I feel like men, one of like, what would you tell men? And maybe one would you tell women who are trying to find someone, are single in New York City? What would be like your biggest piece of advice for them?
Oh boy. I mean, I think for women definitely to not be so judgmental.
Okay.
And
okay. And just fine, Anna.
I'm looking at you. And, you know, because listen, like I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. And I think for women, we're looking for this perfect guy. And we just have to be really like thoughtful about like, what do I bring to the table? What do they bring to the table? Does it match? I think like, because women can live more in reality. Men, I think, live in reality. But I think they need to like maybe not let old wounds dictate how they date. Because I do notice that men sometimes date from a place of insecurity. Like if they were kind of chubbier in the past, they want the skinniest girl they can find. And if they were, if they were like kind of an ugly duckling and they had like a glow up, they want the hottest Instagram model they can find. You know, like I think men date from a place of insecurity.
That's fascinating.
More so than women do. So just heal those traumas. Become, you know, like just get in the best shape of your life. Look good. You know, get it together, get a nice haircut, like for both sides, look your best, you know, fill your brain with smart things. Like don't just watch reality TV, which I think a lot of women are just kind of stuck in this Bravo cycle loop that you never got out of, you know, like I do, you know, like, you know, just become the person that you want to meet and you'll have like better matches, better dates, and hopefully you'll get married.
I love that. Like I love that. And no, this is so good. I mean, this is such a good refreshing perspective on dating. I love your, it's very refreshing.
Thank you.
Think. And I think you're both like realistic and kind. I think I love it.
I know. I used to be more tough love, but I've definitely softened up.
Yeah. And I think it's good. It's really nice. And I guess also from just an entrepreneurial perspective, maybe what's something you would tell young people? We always wrap on this. Young women that our listeners don't want to start their own business. Like, what would you say?
Yeah, whatever you are interested in, you are already an expert. Like, you can already do it today. Don't worry about, like, how am I going to set up the business? How am I going to do taxes? Like, I think sometimes people get very overwhelmed thinking about the business side of things. But, like, if you have a great idea or if you have wisdom to share, if there's something you want to do, just do it. Start for free, maybe like if you're like making sweaters or whatever, like give a few out, see if people like it, get some feedback and then start charging money, start charging more, mm-hmm. Get an Etsy store, you know, just do it something small and just like build on it and just believe in yourself and, you know, you'll make it happen.
That. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Anna. This was an amazing episode. And thank you so much to our listeners. Please email us, womansplainpod1@gmail.com if you have any questions for Anna or us. And thank you so much for listening.
How can we find you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
On social.
I was going to say, wait.
Oh, yes. How can we find you on social? Sorry.
Yes. My Instagram is at Anna Morgenstern and my website, annamorgenstern.com. A lot of good info there. DM me. I'll, you know, see what I can do to help.
We love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on and thank you for listening. Yes.